Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this evening can be found in the first book of Samuel, the 7th chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let us first sing from Psalter 221, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved. When thy face shines once more. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 221.
Thank you. First book of Samuel, chapter 7. And the men of Kiriath Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eliezer his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kiriath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them, until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Sin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and to Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Alex Vinnie, who were blessed with a well-born boy in the day of yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may gather together in this evening hour, Under the roof of thy house, round about thy everlasting word, as we see go by us, upon the streets, fathers and mothers, leading their children by the hand, in a way wherein Satan has become so very bold, so that it is evident that thy restraining hand is withdrawn from us as a nation, so that our privileges, they are shining more and more, as a people who may set up a stone, as we have read it in thy word in this evening hour, and that thy servant did set up a stone, and then it was named Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And what shall we say unto thee who has so many years ago brought our fathers out of a very great darkness in the midst of a church that had fallen so far away, so that thy people were mourning, and that there was so little evident of thy hand, of thy presence, of thy favor. And yet that people who had to say that the walls of Zion are broken down, yet thou didst watch over thy own church. Lord, wilt thou remember us in thy mercy, because in this evening, in this day, we may gather in commemoration, and that we may be given to see our great privileges, that we may be given understanding hearts, because for this truth our fathers did give their life, even unto death, so that their children and their posterity would receive that truth. Oh, then what shall we do with it for the sake of our children and our grandchildren? Then it is no day of persecution in this day, but it is a day wherein the world that has entered into the church and that has entered into our hearts, so that there is so little separation anymore to be seen, and that our hearts and our lives, they have gone out after all that the devil himself does draw the world with. And our hearts, they are no different than the world. Oh, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy and give to us understanding hearts to see our blessings, not only in a natural way, and when we may have commemorated a day of thanksgiving for all the blessings of this life, but now in this evening we may commemorate a thanksgiving in a special way for the preservation of that of thy truth, that we also may not miss that blessing, and that we cannot miss upon our journey to that same eternity that our fathers traveled unto. Lord, then it is so necessary that we are born again, that our eyes go open, and that we may be given also in our life that true turning, that true reformation, and that we may learn to seek thee while thou art yet to be found. Oh, that thou may open that way, wherein thou art to be found unto those who cannot find that way. Even as it was so many years ago already, so thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that thou bringest thy church to an end, as so that they are despairing of every way in themselves and of others in this world, as so that thou may honor and glorify thy own name, and that thou may lift up the name of thine only begotten Son, and that that work that he has accomplished may become necessary, suitable, and precious in the life of each and every one. O Lord, grant unto us true conversion and the forgiveness of all our iniquities and sins. For thou knowest how that we have sinned against thee all our life long, and that our guilt that is much greater than the guilt of this world in their ignorance this day. O grant us then eyes to see it and hearts to understand it and to weep over it and to desire to be renewed by thee. Remember then this nation, these nations in which we may dwell. Oh, that thou may give also in the times in which we are living a turning again, a reforming of heart and life. Oh, that thou may begin even in those that do sit upon the throne, those that do make our laws, those that are upon the judgment seats in our lands, for their responsibility is so very great. And they have to give an answer to thee who art the great ruler of this whole universe. But man does not see it. O Lord, open their eyes. Could it please thee? Also, when there will be in our sister nation on this continent next week elections for the offices, O Lord, we beseech thee in thy mercy to look upon that nation also. Could it please thee to give men in thy favor? And could it please thee to turn that tide back once again, which has gone so far from thee? Oh, bring us back to thy word and to thy testimonies, and also in this land, and in the fatherland also of our fathers. Oh, thou knowest all the declension. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that rule and reign in this world. Grant thy word to have place over the length and breadth of this whole earth. That thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done, that thy name may be honored, may be glorified. Wilt thou remember all the afflicted and the sick, those that are not able to gather with us in this evening hour? Wilt thou supply for them in their places? And all those that are needy, known unto thee, those that mourn, and those that have so little help from the side of man, wilt thou show thyself to be the living God? Go thou before us in this evening, when we may bring thy word for a moment. Lord, help us. Strengthen us in our body, supply in our mind. Give clarity, give freedom. Oh, could it be a little opening in this evening for those who had a desire to gather round about thy word, and that it may not be for them a disappointment, but that it may be for an eternal blessing, that there may be a word from heaven that cannot come from us. It must be a word blessed and sanctified by thee. Lord, thou knowest the condition, thou knowest the state of each one. Oh, look upon us then in this evening, that we may confess that it was good to be together round about thy word of truth. Forgive thou all that is amiss. Remember the child that was born. And mother, thou hast made all things well. Wilt thou strengthen them together and humble the hearts of parents and grandparents and families all together. And Lord, could it please thee to give that it may be a child born to be born again? And that also in the midst of us, the children may receive ears to hear and hearts to understand. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Has the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. There is only one collection bag tonight, that is for the Trinitarian Bible Society. 416, 1, 2, and 5. Congregation, the words of our text for this service in this evening can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, 1 Samuel 7, and of the fourth verse. 1 Samuel 7, verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. So far the words of our text. Reformation in Israel first. Reformation in its cause. Second, reformation in its acts. Third, reformation in its trials. And fourth, reformation in its end. Reformation in Israel, first, reformation in its cause. Second, reformation in its acts. Third, reformation in its trials. And fourth, reformation in its end. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. The time was long. Is that for you too? That the time is long? Because there is a church in this world for whom that the time is long. We read here in verse 1 that the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And in verse 2, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. Thus, there are 20 years between verse 1 and verse 2. And we read nothing of what has taken place in those 20 years. Thus, we do not read that in all those 20 years that there was one word from heaven unto his people. Maybe that is so in your life too. And then the time is long. Because the Lord is not in a hurry. We are in a hurry. But the Lord is not in a hurry. And then there can be sometimes so many years that are going between the visits that the Lord is coming in the life of his people to speak to them a word in glory. Then it will be that they will dwell with him. Then they will see him face to face. And they shall never depart out of his presence. But that is not here upon the earth. And why not? Because then it would be heaven. But now the Lord, he makes them desire to depart from this world. Then they receive just a little taste, time and again. And that is for the drawing of their heart unto him. So that there are by times in their life, desires that they may leave this world. And then they may go to that place where that the time will not be long anymore. It is Congregation Reformation Day. From where is the need for reformation? Our children, I think, can answer that question. The need for reformation that is found in sin. Because if there was not a turning away, then it is not necessary to turn back again. And so we can see and have seen that in the life of Israel, how that there was such a turning away. And when we consider something of the history of the church further, then we can see that also Rome has turned so far away, making that reformation so necessary. But reformation, that is not an easy matter, because man is not brought so quickly to this place. We have seen it with the Philistines. Then judgment after judgment upon city after city can come. But now to bring a people to bow their knees, to bring a people to a turn in their life, to bring a people to acknowledge the Lord, that is, congregation, a very great thing. We see that also in our nation, also in the United States, by times then there are elections. And then it is so difficult when a nation has departed from the Lord, when every sin has become so commonplace, that it is so very, very difficult to bring that people back again. Thus, a reformation that is not something that man is so quickly brought to. And so we can see that also within the church of God. When we see how long that those doctrines, they have taken hold within that church. We just said it to our confession students. In 475, the Synod of Arles has condemned Lucius, that he had to forsake his doctrine of particular redemption. That means that already in the year 475, the church had so departed from the truth and that they were already ready to embrace a universal redemption. And then it was 1,000 years later, boys and girls, 1517, before that Luther is nailing his theses upon that church door. Thus, for 1,000 long, long years, that church has lain under that error. Because man, he is not brought to reformation so quickly. That is in our life too. That is so sad. But how much does it take to turn us back again from those customs and from those ways that we have permitted ourselves as families to depart? No, we do not come there so quickly. The Bathshemites, they only complained about the judgments of the Lord. But how is the Lord now doing that by times in the life of His own people? Often that is by the hiding of His face, that they cannot see their signs. Because the Lord, he says, I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And so we read it here. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Oh, that true reformation, where does it come from? That doesn't come from man. That true reformation that is coming from the Lord himself. He is the Alpha. It is true, we have our responsibility always. And we may not neglect that responsibility, but congregation, when it is starting from our side, then what comes of it? And then soon it is finished. Soon it is over. But what do we read here? And all Israel lamented after the Lord. Is that not a wonder, people of the Lord? Can you bring yourself there? Do you know what we read about Solomon? He writes about that bride, that she is sleeping. And when she is lying there, she is making excuses to get up again. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? But then we read she rose. She rose up again. How is that? Where is that coming from? Ask God's children. Whether they have the power. Whether it lays in them with all their accountability and responsibility, where that now comes, it is experienced as such a wonder in the life of the people, if the Lord may give them to rise up again. Thus, that true reformation, for the first time and by renewal, that is coming, that is beginning from the side of the Lord. Where did it begin in Pentecost? Well, that began also from the side of the Lord. Because then we see first there is regeneration. And afterwards the fruit of that regeneration, they are coming forth in a reformation. And all Israel lamented after the Lord. That is the beginning of the work of God. Weeping, lamenting, mourning. Is it not, congregation, so good now when in this evening we may consider something of that true work of the Lord? Because the Lord Jesus, he says there is a wide gate and a broad way. And there is a straight gate and there is a narrow way. And there are many that go in thereat in that wide gate. And we have seen something of it, haven't we? Because in these chapters then we have had to consider the declension of the children of Israel. And we have seen how that they have departed. We have seen something of that hard-heartedness of those Philistines, those heathens. How that the Lord can take down their idol. And yet they can keep going in the service, in the love, in bowing down to that idol. And then we come to the borders of Israel again, and then we see, well, we see those Bethshemites. Oh, then we see a way of hypocrisy, though, that there is a dwelling within and among that true church of God. But now in this evening hour, we may see something of that true work. Or isn't that heartening that we may consider something of that good work? What do you think, children, young people? Oh, do you have a desire by times that you may hear also how that is going now in the life of God's true people? That you are asking after that work of the Lord, how that the Lord is performing that great work in the heart, in the life of a man. Doesn't happen overnight. No. 40 years, that ark that was in the house of Abinadab, 40 long years, all the days of Samuel. And it took 20 of those years to break the hearts of the children of Israel. 20 years. How old are you? Is your heart broken? The Lord, He can slay us by the sword. But so often than a man, he is being slain by the Spirit in the way of famine. 20 years before their hearts, they begin to break. And then what? And then the Lord makes them sensible of what they are lacking. What they are missing. Or have you ever been made sensible of what you are missing? Then these people, we read, they lamented after the Lord. Thus, what are they feeling? What are they missing? They are not missing prosperity. They are not missing this world. Oh, their lamentation is not with the Beth Shemites over the judgments of the Lord. No, but they begin to miss Him. Oh, they begin to desire Him. Congregation, can we find our place now? Can we find our place among the children of Israel? And when we read that time was long, but that the children of Israel, that they have lamented after the Lord. How did that begin in the days of the Reformation? If you can read a little of that history, then we see the same thing. Then that did not happen overnight. But then there was a pre-Reformation. There was what went before that Reformation. And do you know what went before that Reformation? That was the work of God. That was not that which was to be seen in an outward way. No, that was that which was experienced in an inward way. Because that Reformation that began with a missing people. You have read about Luther, I think so, children, right? And your teacher has told you how that went with Luther. Then it was not just in one moment what he has done. No, there is a long history to that. And how did it go in the life of Luther? Then he became a missing man. Then his heart that was lamenting after the Lord. And that time was long. Oh, it was very long. Oh, he was under error. And that man in all his missing, he could not find the Lord. He could not find him. And there was no one to tell him how that he could be found. Because that church that is steeped in error, but his soul that could not miss the Lord, his soul that longed for him, something of the communion, something of the favor, that reconciliation. Oh, how is it with us? Do we also know something of that beginning? We say it is the cause. It is that which goes before. What does the Lord say? I will pour upon them the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall mourn for him as they have mourned for an only son. That is the beginning. Thus it does not begin with the outward acts, no. It begins with the Spirit of the Lord within. That is within the heart of one man. That is within the heart of the church as a body. That is within a nation, within a people. This is now where it must begin. Because if it does not begin with a weeping heart, it will come all to nothing. But now when there is that weeping heart, that lamenting after the Lord, then it brings forth in our second place also acts. Because then it becomes also evident in our life. What do we read? And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. What is the first thing Samuel does? He asks if this is now something that you are doing with all your heart. Why? Because he is well acquainted with the heart of man. And what is the heart of man? We can read it is deceitful above all things, that it is desperately wicked. Later we can read that the Lord complained of Judah. He says, when you return unto me, that you return to me only feignedly, and that you are not returning unto me with all your heart. Thus, when the Lord, he is giving that true lamenting, then there is an entire heart that is involved in that mourning. Then it is not only one sin, but then it is also those bosom sins, those sins which are hidden from my fellow man. Those sins which are known to the Lord only. If you do return with all your heart, the Lord, words are so easy. So easy. But that is not enough. No, Samuel says, more is necessary because this is before the face, this is before the countenance of that all-knowing God. If you are sincere, if you do return with all your hearts, then what he says? Then you must also show it. What must they do, children? They must put away their idols. Samuel says, it is vain. If you will try to return unto the Lord, and you will not put away your idols. That is hypocrisy. For what reason did the Lord leave? What is now felt in that heart that is lamenting after the Lord? Then he knows why there is separation. There is separation because of sin. And thus, that sin has to be put away. That is the demand of God's servant upon that people. Because it is the demand of the Lord Himself. And what do we read? Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. Oh, the reforms of the Reformation that we can read of in the history of the church. They were not only over the doctrine, but they were also over the life of that people. And when we consider how that Calvin, that Luther, that they have fought for that doctrine of that free justification, and then we can see that faithfulness that the Lord has given unto them, that the Lord may receive His honor, and that the people may be instructed in the truth. But when we will go to Geneva, then we see there that there are also laws put into place. That land that is governed by that law of God, so that there may be no more drunkenness, or card playing, or gambling, or all kinds of sin. If ye do return with all your hearts, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. Oh, it was not until this takes place that Samuel, he goes further. He says, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. If we go to the time of Joshua, when we know that Achan has sinned against the Lord in taking of that accursed thing, and the Lord has come with His judgments against Israel, when they have gone up against that little Ai, then we see Joshua and the elders, they are upon their face on the ground. And what does the Lord say? Get thee up. Get thee up. Why liest thou upon thy face? Why do you pray to me? Congregation, did you ever think that when you were laying on your knees? When you are by your bed, young people, on your knees before the Lord, did those words ever come into your mind, into your heart? Get thee up. Why liest thou upon thy face? What did the Lord say? He says, Israel hath sinned. Thus, first, the Lord says that sin has to be put away. And now we see Israel. That is because that beginning, that is from the Lord. And that what is necessary further, that is also coming from the Lord. Because then we hear those requirements. They are being brought forth. That they are putting away their idols. What do you think? How do you think that was for God's servant? I think he has melted away under it. I think that was for him such a great wonder. that he may see something, that he may feel something of the sincerity of this people. That he can put it through, as it were, a little test to see whether this is lying in the heart or in the mind. To see whether that is of greater importance to them to receive the blessing of the Lord than to receive all, to be able to walk in all the way of the heathen in this world. And when he may now see that they are taking all their idols and they are coming down to the ground, or that they are bringing them perhaps upon heaps and that they are being burned before the Lord, or that they are being buried in the ground, then I think that servant of God, oh, I think that he has melted away. And then we read that he is saying to them, when he sees this, he says, come now together. Come now together, and I will pray for you. Oh, do you hear how that room that is made in the heart of God's servant for that people, that room that he may be able by the Spirit of the Lord to lift that people up in their need. Oh, that room when he may feel something of the sincerity of the request of that people. Congregation, may we feel it also among us. And then what is coming as the first thing in that supplication, we read, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there we have sinned against the Lord. Oh, what do they begin with? Do they begin with a request? Or they cannot begin with a request. Because they feel that there is in themselves guilt. They feel something of their unworthiness. And so there is a beginning with a confession. To say first, Lord, we do not deserve what we wish to ask of thee. That is congregation coming out of that true work. That lamenting after the Lord. Oh, that sense of their unworthiness. We see that they even give a sign. They draw water. They pour that out upon the ground. Oh, then it is as a picture for that people, but also before the countenance of the Lord to say, Lord, we are just like that spilled out water. Oh, we are so helpless in ourselves. Thy judgments against us would be so righteous because we have sinned and we are not able to pick ourselves up again. No, we have no rights in ourselves. So congregation, a little bit of the axe of that reformation. What is it? Oh, that first putting away of sin, that putting away of their idols, their transgression. We see then their confession, how that they are showing unto the Lord their unworthiness. Oh, and then they may present their supplication unto the Lord. Oh, do we know anything of such a way? And what may be experienced by the children of Israel? That is the way when it will be in a person, when it will be in a church, when it will be in a nation. When it is proceeding out of that true sorrow and that lamenting and that missing. Or do we know something of that way? Then that way that will also be tried. But we want to sing first. 216, 2 and 3. Oh, how long against thy people shall thy anger burn, O Lord? On thy enemies, the heathen, be thy indignation poured. Smite the kingdoms that defy thee, calling not upon thy name. They have long devoured thy people and have swept thy land with fame. 2 and 3 of Psalter 216. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. We can be sure that if it is the work of the Lord, that there is going to come much against it. Why? Because the Lord says that He is going to refine them as silver is refined. And He is going to try them as gold is tried. And therefore that work which is beginning from heaven, that will be tried by the Lord, so that all the dross, everything that is the work of man, and upon which man will try to build, that has all to fall away. And it is only the Lord who is going to receive the honor. The devil, you can be sure that he will not be quiet. Our fathers, they had to experience in that Reformation, when there was a return, then they had to experience persecutions. They had to experience a Roman Catholic Inquisition. Then they had to experience martyrdom. Then they had to experience war. And it was all for the truth. You read, Solomon says, when that bride, she is arising from her bed, and that she is going forth into the streets that she may seek her beloved once again. Oh, then we read that she says, the watchmen found me that went about the streets, and they smote me, and they wounded me. And the watchers upon the walls, and they took away my veil from me. Oh, then God's children are brought by the Lord to go back again from that way of backsliding. And when they are brought in that way of reformation, and when the Lord is stirring them up once again, then you can be sure that there will be waiting for them trials and tribulations and afflictions and persecutions in this life and within their souls. The prodigal had an older brother, and that older brother was very angry. Oh, it was free mercy that he was angry with. And that was now also in the Reformation, because Satan, he cannot bear it. That was never offered to him. Remember that, young people. Oh, there was no mercy for the devils who had sinned. But for man, it was different. And so then you can be sure that that devil, he is raging. And when the Lord, he is bringing that people back once again, when Israel returned from Babylon, then that enemy was at their door. Then they are mocking. When a fox will go over that wall, and then he will break it down. And how was that for the children of Israel? Oh, we read that the children of Israel, they are afraid. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Oh, how many fears then are in the way. That is something, because they have now begun that way back again. The Lord leads them in that way. The Lord leads them through that way. And then the attacks of the devil, they are only increasing. Then he is only coming nearer and nearer. So we see that people, that they are increasing in fears. So that the devil, like those Philistines, they say, we will still have you. We will not let you go. And so Satan also says it to that people. Now, we will not let you go. No, you have come to serve me. Or you have turned away from your God. Will he accept such a one again? You will now die in your sin. Oh, how many fears, how powerless, And that people feel so often under the accusations of the devil. Why? Because they can only agree with him. Of the evil of their way. How they have forsaken the Lord days without number. Satan, he is setting before them the hypocrisy that is living in their heart. You are not upright. That is not a right sense of sin that you have. And what is your reformation? That will be just like the morning cloud and the early dew. Soon it will be gone. It will be all over with. And I will have you in my hands anyway. What do we read? And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Oh, how helpless that people feel. That enemy, he is there. They did not come to fight. They were not prepared to fight. They came there to pray. They came there to worship. And then there was an enemy. And now they are afraid. Like David. I will now one day perish at that hand of Saul. Oh, how undeserving the Lord shows that people to be. How many cries for mercy, how many cries for grace don't go up to heaven from that people. But maybe they don't really even know what mercy and grace is yet. But they don't know it anymore. They don't know it anymore. From their own sight, they have to lose that battle because of sin, because of guilt, because of corruption, because of pollution. And they have to experience the insufficiency of everything from their own sight, even their reformation. Their reformation. It is not enough. But so the Lord is leading them to what we see is His end and His purpose in it. That is our last thought. And what is that end? What is that purpose? Oh, that is not that they may end in their reformation. Not that they may end in the works of their own hands. Because the Lord, He cannot receive His glory that way. That is what was missing from Rome. But when the Lord is taking the foundation out of that reformation, then the Lord is leaving that people with no rights. That they can only cry for mercy. But they need to be instructed. They need to be shown what is now the basis for mercy. What is now the basis for grace. And that is now what Samuel does. He took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. O congregation, were your eyes ever open to see it? Did the Lord ever open unto you? Did He ever reveal unto you something of that blood that has been shed on that cursed tree? What does Samuel say? He says, Lord, forgive that people. Forgive that people. Samuel says, Lord, wilt thou take away their guilt? Samuel says, Lord, hast thou not laid it upon thy only begotten Son? Samuel says, Lord, this people do not deserve it. There is nothing from their side. But there is reason from thy side. And there is that enemy. And that enemy is approaching. And that people are afraid. Do you know what that is? And when that people are there afraid, that is because from their side, they have no strength against that enemy. They cannot conquer that enemy. But they are afraid that that enemy is going to conquer them, that it will be their death, that it will be their destruction. Oh, then it is for them lost. And then it is in that moment that Samuel, he is setting that lamb before the face of God. And then he is pleading upon it. And what do we read? We read, and the Lord heard him. Thus that burnt sacrifice that had power in heaven, that burnt sacrifice that had power with an offended creator, with an angry judge, never in the history of the whole world has a guilt-stricken soul perished who has fled to him by a true saving faith. Never. That is the power of that sacrifice in heaven. Perish? No, the opposite. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-kar. Not one enemy could stand anymore. And there is now a people here who understand what I mean. There is a people here who have, in that moment, when that mediator was opened unto them, oh, then they have seen something. They have seen that that enemy, which they so fear, is not able to stand against that burnt sacrifice. Oh, when the Lord congregation opens our eyes, when that death, oh, that is coming so near, when it is from my own side so hopeless, when all the works from my side, they are cut off, when that enemy, he is threatening to bring me to that eternal destruction, that enemy, not just the devil, but it is that enemy of sin, and the Lord opens their eyes. Do you know what they see? They see something so precious. Then they see that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. They see in that moment that there is not one sin, or hell itself is not able to stand against that sacrifice. Let the enemy mock them because he cannot touch them as Peninnah could not touch Hannah anymore. Because then that people, they say, it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Who therefore shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, was that not what Luther experienced? When it was for him at an end. And when everything he tried from his own side and from the side of that church that lost all its power, and he may see in one moment the power of that blood and where that justification is coming from. Congregation, there was so much freedom. That man, he rose up with such gladness. Oh, then there was such a joy. Oh, then there was such a freedom and such a liberty. Because there is nothing that can be laid against God's children. And there is not one sin that is able to stand to the condemnation of the church of God because of that Lamb. Oh, Luther may see what was so missing in that church. That free justification. And when they said it is sanctification unto justification. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Why? We consider the law. What one of us can begin to bring forth one work that is righteous in the sight of God? Not one. But when that justification that is so entirely free, and when he may say, look unto me all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, then there is such a liberty, then there is such a joy that this world cannot enter into. Then you may understand why those reformers, they stood for that truth with their life. For their posterity, what do we give to them? Will we give them this world? They would withhold from them this world. They would withhold from themselves their own life, that that blessed truth may be maintained. Samuel, he set up a stone, we read. He called it Ebenezer, O congregation. Does it not behoove us to set up such a stone today? Delivered from the shackles of Rome. Delivered from the shackles of the prince of darkness. And that is such a wonder because our hearts, they cleave to that error. It is no wonder that there are millions and millions of people that do not turn away from that error. And then millions deceived with that attempting to bring forth that sanctification unto a justification. Leading man to nothing but an utter, utter despair. Ask God's children. What a privilege. Ebenezer. What a privilege that we may have with our children. Do you believe that, boys and girls? Oh, we can never estimate rightly what the Lord has given unto us in the Reformation. When the Lord has stopped in one moment, as it were, in one small period of time, after more than 1,000 years lying in that darkness of that error, and then to bring that truth of his word into the foreground. For this we are accountable. For this we are responsible. Will we go lost? with the truth that has been handed down unto us from our fathers. Oh, ask the Lord that He may give us to experience that truth. Oh, that begins with a lamentation. Oh, that begins with a confession. That begins with a turning away from all our sin, from our idols of this world. Not only of that day, but also of this day and of this heart. That goes to a supplication, an acknowledgement of the Lord, who He is and who that we are. And it will be tried. It needs to be tried. Because if it is not tried, we lift up ourselves with it and we perish with it. But if it is tried, and then all the dross is being taken away. And then there is only one thing left. And that is that blessed sacrifice. And then every enemy has to flee away. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do instruct us in Thy truth. For Thou knowest that we are cleavers to a broken covenant. O give that true lamentation. Could it please Thee to break us away from all the idols of our hearts and they of our lives, but also those that are the secret bosom sins that we cleave unto, each one his own. Oh, make us upright before Thee. Wilt Thou bring us to an end of our own selves, our own works? Open, reveal Thy dear Son to miserable and wretched sinners, that Thy name may be glorified, and that the enemy may be routed, and that eternity may not be long enough to magnify the triune God. Bring us safely home, and give us meditation upon Thy word of truth. Forgive our many sins. Prepare us for Thy holy day. Give place and room for Thy word. Help those that will read. Bring up faithfully under the services. Help us to bring Thy word elsewhere. And be Thou a God nearby, that we may experience that Thou art the living God. For Jesus' sake, amen. 128, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. And we will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. 1 and 2 of Psalter 128. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.